COVID, we quit passing the plates around in this little room we're in. It's just easier. We do have a giving box in the front. As you're going out, you can remember there. I know most of you are giving online, and we're fine with that too. We'll take it any way you want to give it. And when I say we take it, we receive it. How many of you believe your worship, your offering is worship?
Amen.
Your giving unto the Lord is worship, okay?
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus sat there in the temple, and he watched everybody. Can you imagine? You're giving that day. You're walking in literally a line of people coming up and giving their money, and Jesus is watching them all. Can you imagine that? The Lord is watching you give.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we know he made a beautiful example that even the woman who only gave two mites, but she gave more than everybody. Amen? So it's not about that, but we love you. We want you to be a part of that, and let that continue to be a part of your worship. And I thank God for your faithfulness during this time, because there's some people I've not even seen them physically face to face in a long time. But those days are ending in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And agree with us, guys. We're agreeing. We need a facility. We need an enlarged place. Amen? We got things to do, and I want to talk to you about that today. And I don't want you to get nervous. When I talk about building today, I'm not talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about building us as the people of God. Amen? It's important. So with that, I just want to get right on into the Word of God. This week, we're going to do prayer. Would somebody make sure you text Marvin and Irene? This week, we're going to pray on Thursday night. Thursday night right here. Come and join us. I know a lot of you can't get here because of your commutes and you live across Phoenix and all of that. But we will be online with prayer on Thursday night. We just worship and pray for an hour, hour and a half or so. And it's a wonderful time. And as always, whenever you have something going on in your life and you need that agreement, let me give you some praise reports. Irene,
mm-hmm.
had a wonderful report this week, right?
Yes.
That the growths are diminishing.
They're shrinking. Everything is going good.
No, everything's going the right direction.
Yeah,
the heel of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And she hardly ever uses her oxygen.
Amen. Did y'all hear that? She's hardly ever using her oxygen anymore. Those lungs are not, as I told you months ago, they're not going to be handicapped. They're going to be completely working at full capacity. And we believe that with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I didn't realize that you didn't have the machine with you.
Or
you do have it.
Just
in case. There as an accessory. Yeah. To keep Marvin going. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law, some of you know, my dear sister-in-law, Valerie, got a clean report for myeloma cancer this week.
Hallelujah.
Come on, guys. Get enough of the bad reports. I like to shout for the good reports. Amen. Miracles. More to come in Jesus' name. So hang in there. Hallelujah. Just hang in there and keep believing God, standing with God. And you know what? If you're battling with something, you're never bothering any of us. We'll pray for you every day until you get your breakthrough. Amen. We're going to keep praying, keep loving on you until that breakthrough comes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay.
35 kids got saved at camp last
week. Yes, 35 kids received the Lord at camp. We had an awesome camp. We had 80 to 120 kids every night.
Wow.
Every night. I mean, it was quite the crowd, and it was powerful and a wonderful time. We got back safely. Everybody made it. We all got back safely, and the enemy tried to attack, but we got through it, and we're on the other side of it. We have Nashane here. I don't know how many of you got would you just stand up and do a twirl? No, just kidding. She is from Lifestyle Christianity with Todd White and the guys down there, and our good friend Pastor Hershey, and William is coming. He'll be here next Sunday. William's getting in town this week just in time for 117 degrees.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's going to get out of the car and go, oh my, what was I thinking? God, could this be your calling?
Yeah.
Can I let this cup pass from me? Yeah. But anyway, he'll be here. So we're going to talk and introduce both of them to you more officially next week when they're both here. But we're so excited to have them here with us for this season as they finish out their internship with their program there at Lifestyle Christianity. And we're believing they're going to maybe stick with us too. Hallelujah. For the long term. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God, is there anything else, Suze? Do we need to announce or anything? Okay.
We're fundraising for our next mission trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's big.
So their rental company sold off their vehicles during COVID.
Yeah.
So now the ones that have them are charging a lot.
Yeah. Or if you want to sponsor a van rental. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that, but like there's like maybe half the enterprise locations there used to be. And they're, you know, it's been a rough time for a lot of people, especially the car business. So anyway, all right. Well, I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about the drawing of the Father, the drawing of the Father. Now, Ephesians 5, I quote this to you a lot. And the Lord told me, he said, this is a now word every day. Awake, O sleeper. Amen. And arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Hallelujah. In other words, if you will wake up and get up, Christ will shine on you. Now, if you choose to stay in your sleepy slumber spiritually, then you can expect nothing to happen. But if you'll just make a move toward God in faith, He will shine on you. How many of you believe that? Now, Isaiah prophesied it this way. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you and upon me. Amen? Amen. You believe that? And then it goes on to say, though darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness is on the peoples, the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Amen? So God's glory is never intimidated by the darkness.
That's right.
In fact, it shines even brighter because of the
That's
darkness.
Right.
Amen? Amen? And I want to talk to you about that. What is God's plans for us? What is it He wants to do here? Because I want to tell you, I have no interest in doing something religious here. I've grown up in church. Religion doesn't thrill me at all. Anybody with me? I'm not interested in religion, but I am interested in the reality of what it is the Lord is doing. I believe He's accomplishing a work in our days.
Yes.
Amen? I don't want to be a skeptic. Anybody with me? I don't want to be a scoffer. I don't want to be one who despises what God has promised. I believe there is a great awakening. And I'm going to quit saying that it's coming. I say it's here.
It's here.
Amen?
There you go.
I read in a newsletter from Andrew Womack, said the Lord just spoke that clearly to him. Quit talking about how the Great Awakening is coming and start to declare that it's here, because it is.
Yeah, yeah.
The Great Awakening is here. It is now. And that's the way it works. It's like we're always wanting another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe in that to a degree. But the problem is, Peter said, in the last days, it shall be that I will pour forth. He didn't say, you know, at the beginning of the last days or here and there. It just means this is the attitude, this is the atmosphere of the last days church age, is He pours forth of His Spirit. Amen. He's been pouring forth of His Spirit this morning. And I do believe there's mightier waves of the Spirit being poured out. But we need to quit kind of kicking the can down the road. We need to begin to believe God for the now. Let's have now faith.
Amen.
Amen. And believe God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been praying. It's been a tough time for all the nations, especially our nation. It's been a tough time. Amen. With everything from just all the divide in our land to the pandemic, the border crisis. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. There's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of opinions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Because I love you, I'm not going to mention them to you today.
Yeah.
It's not about that, guys. What we need, what do we pray? If my people...
Who are called by my...
He didn't say if the Democrats pray. If the Republicans pray. He said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, amen, turn from their wicked ways... I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Amen?
Right.
Amen? That healing of the land is something that requires the Spirit of the Lord. Because see, we were even singing that today. The river flows. In Revelation, it's the river that flows from the throne of God, which is the Spirit of God, that anointing of the Spirit of God that heals the nations.
Amen.
Politics does not heal nations.
That's it.
We need good government. Amen? We need good leadership, but it doesn't heal the nation.
Amen.
The healing of the nation is a very spiritual thing, and it requires God's people, His remnant, to awaken.
That's right.
Amen?
Awaken.
Amen? I don't care who you put in office. If something doesn't happen spiritually, the nation continues to spiral down.
Yeah.
Are you with me? It's very important. It really isn't about who's in the White House. Hello? It really isn't about who's in the Senate and in the Congress. It's about the awakening of the people of God.
Right.
And that brings a lot of other things into motion. Amen? Proverbs says righteousness, what? Exalts a nation. A nation is literally lifted up by the righteousness of its people. But there's another side to that coin. Because sin brings a nation down.
Amen.
Sin brings a curse on the land and not healing to the land. I don't know if you knew this, but the first great awakening actually was the spiritual inertia or motivation for the American Revolution. It only happened because of that. Now, you're not going to see that in any of today's history books. Anything about God, Christianity, that's all been pulled out. You know that. It's been rewritten. But it brought forth that. And interesting, the second great awakening is what provided the same spiritual motivation and inertia for the ending of slavery. Because see, people's hearts had to change. I'm not saying there didn't have to be the Civil War. I'm just saying, but there had it was a spiritual movement that where people would not settle. We're not going to be a land that has slavery going on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that changes it. Do y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's very important to understand. So I'm excited about the next great awakening.
Yeah.
Or this great, how about that? This great awakening. God wants to do something mighty. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The enemy loves, though, if you'll notice, to counterfeit biblical terms like awakening. Now everybody calls woke being woke. The problem is most of woke culture, when I listen to them talk, they're in the dark. They're deceived. They're not awake at all. Because I found out something in my life. I got saved at the age of 20. And I thought I was really wise at 19. I thought I was woke. And I didn't find out until I found Jesus that I didn't have a clue. I didn't see anything. I couldn't see the forest for the trees until I came to know Christ. Are y'all with me? And God's wanting to awaken us. And it's only through a faith in Jesus Christ can you come out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's the only way. You must be born again and enter into that. So why does the Lord always cry out for us to prophetically awaken? What is that about? Well, it's so that we will arise and shine, but it's also because He wants us to co-labor with Christ. He's wanting us to join Him in what He's doing. Everybody with me? Because a lot of times we want to pray and say, God, do stuff. God, do stuff. God, fix this. God, go over here. And it's not like that.
Right.
Even with the angels co-labor with us. Right? They partner with us. And so you start to understand the spirit realm and the realm we live in are connected. And with God, we walk together with Him. We're co-laborers with Christ. That's why our mission is called a co-mission. Amen? We do it together with our Lord as we go into all the world. Y'all still with me out there? Okay, so it's important we get this. And He wants us. I want to say this to everyone. He wants every one of us to participate in what He's doing. And you know what He's doing? He's building His church.
That's
what He told Peter. I will build my church and hell's not going to stop it. Amen? Now, where people kind of roll their eyes, oh, I'm building the church. We've been around enough religious things that Jesus didn't build. Hello? But there's a true church and a real church. And I'm not criticizing anybody else. Let's just take a hard look at ourselves. Amen? And what is it that Jesus is building? And I believe a remnant is waking up to rise and build according to the pattern we see in Scripture. You know, our building materials, again, is not brick and mortar, is it? Our building material is the people that we reach.
That's right.
The living stones, right? Who come together. Who's our cornerstone? Jesus Himself. Now, the builders of old, the religious builders, rejected Him. But He became the chief cornerstone. And you and I are fitted together with Him. He's building something. It's very, very powerful. Interestingly, how do you know, through all that's been gone, all that's been put upon us in society, everybody's been pushed away from one another. Don't abide together. Don't get together. Don't congregate. Don't do it. And it's just like this sinister plan to keep us apart. We're the powers in our togetherness.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Believe it or not, He's building His church. We were born again to not only be saved ourselves, but we were born again to bring that salvation to others.
Amen.
For me just to be satisfied that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and not going to hell is quite selfish. If I don't care about my brothers and sisters, to lead them to Jesus. Amen? And so I don't want to be a selfish Christian. I want to live with my light on for the Lord. Anybody with me? Okay. In the world, we're called to be His witnesses. We know that. Think about this. We're the people of God. We're salt. We're light. How about this? As a church, we're a city set on a hill. Amen? In other words, while we're in this world, corporately and individually, we're to have influence. Everybody say influence.
Influence.
Does a light influence a room?
Yes.
Absolutely. Just one light.
Yeah.
Most of you know, if you've been in here, if you're not toward the front of the building and there's no activity after about 30 minutes, there's a timer and the lights go off. We'll be in here doing discipleship and the lights go out.
Yeah.
Somebody has to run up and kind of wave their hands in the lobby and the lights come back on.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what happens is God wants us to keep the lights on. Amen? He wants us to have influence. He wants us to have influence. So, what did Jesus say? No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel or under the bed. If you were at my house and I lit a lamp and then went and put it in a closet and closed the door and sat down, you'd be like, Rick needs more sleep.
Yeah.
That made no sense what he just did. But let's be honest, most Christians only turn their lamps on when we all gather together. We have this bright, But where's the lamp shining in a dark place? And God's placed us there for that. Amen? Can I make it easy for you today? We let our light shine in two simple ways. Number one, by being a loving and kind people. Everybody say loving and kind. And then number two, though, I'm not letting you off the hook, doing the works of Jesus. But you know, it takes the two for the other to work, because faith works through love. Amen? And it takes the two for the other to work, the two together. I love what it says of Jesus. In Acts 10, you know the verse. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God what? Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen? For God was with him. And can I tell you today, everybody, God is with you. Amen? Amen? God is with you.
Yes.
And he wants us to do the same thing. That's how we're light in this dark world. Now, look at a verse with me, if you would, in John. We're going to look at a couple of passages in John. How do you like that introduction? Relax. We'll be done by... Well, never mind. John chapter 3, verse number 20. Jesus says this, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear his deeds will be what? Exposed." So, clearly, not everybody is drawn to the light. Would you agree?
That's right.
Some people like their darkness. They'd rather just camp there. They don't really want to bring their life under the light of God. And so that's clear. But it doesn't mean we don't keep shining. Amen?
Right.
Doesn't mean we don't keep shining. Now, in chapter 6 of John, let me set up for you before we read the verses we're going to read. Jesus, you remember he fed 5,000. 5,000. Many debate that it was probably much more than that, because they said 5,000 men, you know. If you counted the women and the children, you know, we could have been talking 15 to 20,000. But, you know, it's a lot of people. More than are here today. And he fed them, as we know, with a little boy's lunch. Remember that? He blessed it and gave thanks. And then notice this, as they distributed it, as they gave, it multiplied. And not only did everybody get fed to full, like a good American, fed to full, they had 12 basketfuls left over. What a miracle that was. And after this takes place, later, Jesus is perceiving, these people are actually going to take hold of me and force me to be their king. And so he pulled away from them and went up in the mountain to pray. Then he sends his disciples and they go in these boats over to cross the sea to Capernaum. And as they're going across, as usual, see, like every time Jesus tells you to go somewhere, there was a storm, there were strong winds, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And they actually let him in the boat. That was a good decision. And then they get to the other side. Now, the other people looking for Jesus decide they're going to get in boats and go to the other side, because they heard everybody was on the other side of Capernaum. And they were seeking Jesus. So with that, I want to pick up with John 6 and verse number 25. "When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'" Because they knew he didn't get in the boat with the others. Right? How many know? Most of us would have told this fabulous story about how we walked across the sea, right? He didn't even address it. He didn't even answer them. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs." Here we go, guys. These guys had to be Americans. "But because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Now notice this. Jesus is exposing the true motivation of their heart. And beloved, he's getting ready to really challenge their paradigm about who he is. Let's keep reading. Go to verse 32. "Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world.' And then they said to him, 'Lord, always give us this bread.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, And the one who comes to me, please receive this right now. Underline it. I will certainly not cast out. Hallelujah. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on that last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and, everybody say, and believes in Him will have eternal life. A lot of people beheld Him, beloved, but they didn't believe in Him. Amen? And I myself will raise Him on the last day. Now they're really challenged. Because this guy went from a guy with a great feeding ministry to being the bread of life out of heaven. He also goes on in that context to talk about, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. Yeah. And I mean, they're freaking out now. Now he's a cannibal, as far as they know. They don't have any idea what's going on here. They don't have a clue what he's talking about. And they're really struggling. And the Bible says they begin to grumble. They were grumbling about the validity of this, that Jesus came down out of heaven because they knew Him to be Joseph's boy, right? That's how they knew Him in the flesh, that He came down out of heaven and that He was the bread of life. So they really struggled with that. Let's look at it. Go to verse 41. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He say, I have come down out of heaven? And Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. Isn't that interesting? He just simply says, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me, let's say this together out loud, unless the Father who sent me draws him. Let's say that again. Unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. Is anybody in here glad you were drawn by God's heart to Him? Anybody with me? I am so glad. I can't explain it. Can you?
No.
I don't even know why I started believing. But He drew me to Himself. Didn't He, Indra? He drew your heart. Amen? He draws us to Himself. And we see that even though they grumbled and scoffed, Jesus didn't appease them with an argument or a debate about who He was. He just said, you guys aren't obviously being drawn, so I'm not going to sit here and waste my time. How many of you ever, after you first got saved and religious people wanted to argue with you? Yeah. I was kind of like, and I used to debate with them. I thought it was my job to win the argument. Yeah. Anybody with me? I'm a hard-headed guy. Yeah. I know y'all think I'm not, but I am. And after a while, the Lord said, you're really wasting a lot of time and passion and energy. Because I'm not even drawing them to myself. They're prideful. They don't want to know. Hello? Y'all okay out there? Some of you needed that word right there. That'll work for you all week. Amen. Save yourself some energy. Here's the reason why. He knew the Father wasn't drawing them, a lot of them. He knew that because He said, remember what James wrote? He said that God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. Isn't that interesting? So He knew that. The humble are drawn to the things of God. People ask me, well, who are the humble? They're hungry for God. They love God. They want to know God. Amen? They don't want to argue about God. They just want the reality of it in their life. Amen? And can I say, there's nothing wrong with being inquisitive, is there?
No.
Or even asking some questions. But not if it's for the sake of a debate or an argument, right? Especially when we want to back up our tradition. Let's be honest. Most of us, our traditions are bunk. Most traditions in a church are just not even founded upon anything. They're good traditions. There's a lot of traditions that need to go anyway. It's not worth arguing over, amen? But God isn't drawing the prideful to Himself. He's drawing the humble to Himself. And the humble are drawn to the things of God. Here's the thing, if you remember this, and I have to remember this when I'm trying to witness to someone. You don't believe from here.
That's right.
You believe from here.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Believing is from the heart.
Yes.
What does He say? How do you simply get saved? You believe in your heart and confess
That's
with your mouth.
Right.
Now, does He want our minds to be renewed?
Yes.
Absolutely. We want to renew our minds because that'll bring transformation.
Yes.
That brings us into, we want to think right. We want to have the mind of Christ. But see, a lot of people want to get that all right first and become convinced in their minds. You can't believe that way. You have to believe. It's faith.
That's right.
It's faith.
Amen.
Lord, I don't understand it at all, but I want it.
Yeah.
I want You, Lord. Amen. I mean, I enjoyed the meal, but I want to feast on You.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the context here. So Jesus is saying to the multitude, you're cool with me feeding you, but I'm telling you today, I'm the feast. Amen? I'm the bread of life. Hallelujah. What you got earlier isn't going to last you until the next time you get hunger pangs. But I am the feast that you've come to partake of. Amen? What is that song we used to sing? He brings us to what? His banqueting table. His banner over us is love. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you love the banqueting table of the Lord? Some of you have been banqueting today. Some of you might have been nibbling and snacking. But I encourage you, strap on the feed bag and go for it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Passion Translation of verse 44, I had to read it to you today. The only way people can come to me is by the Father who sent me, for He pulls on their hearts to embrace me. Did y'all hear that? He pulls on their hearts to, and don't you love that? To embrace me. Now, I looked it up. In the Greek, draw means, get this, to drag or to pull. Wow. I don't know about you, but I always thought draw as being subtle.
Yeah.
Right? And then I start to realize it's not subtle at all. How many of you ever got in trouble and your mama dragged you out of that department store?
Yeah.
And you thought you were going to have shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
By the time she dragged you to the parking lot to deal with you. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Of course, my mom would deal with me right at the cashier stand. She didn't care. You know, you couldn't get arrested for disciplining your child when I was a kid. But this draw, anyway, I'll move on. This drawing, yeah, Terry's back there shaking his head. He got a few whoopings in his lifetime. Hallelujah. But what, come on guys, what is the drawing power? It's His loving kindness. It's His goodness, is it not? That's the drawing power. That's what makes Jesus irresistible. Let's look at it in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 1. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Israel went in to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, let's all say this out loud together. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Amen?
Amen.
It's His love. Get this now. It's His love and His kindness that draws us.
Right.
Loving kindness. Amen? Very important. Do you believe God loves people? He loved you and I with His loving kindness long before we repented of our sins. Amen? Long before we accepted Him. Amen? He loved us. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Again, not everybody is drawn to Him. For years, I wasn't drawn to that loving kindness, but He was loving me. Are you with me? I praise God. I started to respond to that love. But I'm telling you, He wishes that none should perish. That's the heart of God. That'll give you confidence to go witness to people and minister to people and love on people. Because you realize God loves them more than I do.
Amen.
Amen. Paul wrote this in Romans 2. He said, Romans 2. I don't know the verse, but Romans 2, he says, it is the kindness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. Think about that. But in the very next verse, he warns them to not have a stubborn and unrepentant heart. So even though His kindness would lead one guy to repentance, there could be another guy in his stubbornness and his unrepentedness. Is that a word? I just made it up.
Sounds good.
It will keep you from receiving of that loving. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense for that guy. I'm like, dude, please humble yourself. But the Father is drawing. In Jesus' life, here's what I want to get to today. The Father was drawing His loving kindness through Jesus' life. Would we agree?
Yeah.
They were drawn to Him. They were drawn to Him. People, total strength, they had to totally trust in His goodness to come to Him. But who does He draw through today? Us. Amen? Because we are what? The body of Christ. Christ is not physically on the earth except in you and me. Right? And so if we're not walking, like I said before, in the loving kindness of God and being willing and bold to do the works of God, to bless people, to heal people, to whatever, then they don't have something to be drawn to. And the church, I believe all of us and the church should be irresistible. Because
yeah.
We are what? The body of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
People should sense the love of God and certainly the power of God and the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
See, I think I think there's three areas of what we would call draws of the Holy Spirit that are inherent in Christ's true body. Are y'all with me on that? See where I'm going? It expresses the loving kindness. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this week. And I was looking a lot at the early church. And I was looking at, wow, this constant growth, this constant being added to it. I'm thinking, you know, our culture today is not so much in darkness that we can't see a harvest and a revival. I mean, I'm not going to accept that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. This gospel worked all over places where they didn't even heard there was a God.
That's right.
Amen. And it worked and it grew and expanded. Places like Corinth, right? Just an amazing move of God. And so the first one is this. The first draw to me is the top of the list, and that's His presence.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be a people of His presence. Would you agree?
Yes.
Amen. The peace and the joy of God.
Yes.
In His presence is what? The fullness of joy. Amen. His peace that goes beyond our understanding.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know about you, but don't you think anybody would want that? But let's be honest, most people, even people that have been in religious type churches, they've never sensed His presence.
Right.
I've had people tell me, I don't know, but every time I come over to your church, I cry or I feel something going on in me. And I'm like, well, you know, I said, it's just the presence of God. I can't explain. It's not me.
Yeah.
Certainly not my fabulous preaching.
Yeah.
it's the presence of God. I mean, you know, that ought to be our signature. That ought to be our flag. Amen. The presence of God is here. The kingdom of God is here.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's why the tabernacle of David is being restored. It's when we gather together as worshipers before the Most High God, and He comes into the midst of us. I'm going to talk more about that, and I'm going to do some teaching with you in the next few Sundays on that. But James, when the Gentiles first begin to start getting saved, James quotes an old passage from Amos. Y'all remember, all these ancient prophecies are going to be fulfilled in Christ before He returns. And so he stands up and says, that this tabernacle of David, remember it was just a tent. So it wasn't about the building, it was about what was going on in that tent. Amen? It was that unyielded, unstoppable worship in spirit and in truth that brought the glory of God in. He said, I'm going to restore. And why is God restoring that? How many know we need that restored in all churches? I mean, why is He restoring it? So the rest of mankind may seek the Lord.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
So the rest of mankind may see. It's a draw. It really is. It's the presence of God that draws people. But let me say this to you. His loving kindness is also expressed in His power. Is it not?
Amen.
The power to heal. The power to set someone free from their demonic oppression. Right?
Right.
Would you agree? Because I'll tell you, if that's what's on the front burner of your life, that shows God's love to you more than just feeling it. Because your life has changed because something, what did Jesus say? If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Amen.
Amen? And I tell you guys, there's a draw to this. And Frank, let me just say this to you. People get nervous about this. How many of you believe in Jesus? Wave at me. Come on now. If you can't wave at me in here, you'll never live for Him out there. Wave at me if you believe in Jesus. I'm tricking you right now. Come on. Any unbelievers here? If you're an unbeliever, come stand out front. Let me pray for you. Okay, I think I know everybody in this room anyway. I know we're all believers. Guess what? Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and even greater works, because I go to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
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 I want to get better at that. How about you?
Amen.
I want to get a lot better at that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We clearly see. Okay, we have the first. You know, you go into a town, you see the First Baptist Church of Sholo. Or whatever town you're driving into. You know, you always see the First Baptist, the First Methodist, whatever, the first. Well, there was the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it was at Jerusalem, right? And it was full of Jews at the time.
Yep.
Right? Just the Jews. Remember, they're the ones that, for some reason, were behind the door when Jesus taught about all nations coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They had a hard time in the beginning accepting this. I'm not going to lie. God, where were you guys at? Were you at the bathroom at the Sermon on the Mount? I don't know. Where were you guys? You know, I don't understand what was going on. Anyway. Of course, like our bathroom, everybody's on display when they walk down the aisle, you know. Time to come out of there, Bill. No. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. But the church at Jerusalem, guys, it had become a city set on a hill. Here's what it says. We're going to look at the passage. I've quoted it to you before. And I'm going to teach on these different draws in the weeks to come, because I believe they need to be a part of who we are. But it said that multitudes of men and women were being added to the church. And there were so many, and that people were coming, and it was so many people that they had to line the sick up along the sidewalks and the walkways so that hopefully the apostle's shadow might fall on them when he walked by. I mean, they couldn't get the sick people to the altar. Are you with me? So many people were being drawn. And then it goes on to say that from all the vicinity around Jerusalem, now we would call it the metro area of Jerusalem, was all coming in. And it says they were coming in and they were bringing the sick and they were bringing the demon oppressed, and everybody, all were being healed. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about how many of you want, I want this church to have that reputation.
Amen.
I'm serious. Because I believe he wants all of his church to have that reputation.
Amen.
You need to get healed and set free. That's where you go.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. That's the place right there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're crazy, but go. Amen?
You
might not think they're uptight, but you're going to get healed if you go there. Hallelujah. Many are drawn. Now, how many of you know? Many are drawn. Why? If you're sick, you're going to be drawn to that.
Right?
That's the loving kindness of God wanting to heal you. If you're bound up, you're going to be drawn to that because you know you can be free. You really can be free indeed. Now, we have a lot of people that are drawn to stuff like that because they're looking for a show. Right? Hello? They're looking for entertainment. They want to see a miracle or whatever. And they're the ones that seek after a sign. But there are a lot of people in our culture that need what only Jesus can give them. Amen? Are y'all with me? We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in the life of the early church. Think about this. This will help you. The gospel is for the... fill in the blank. The gospel is for the... what's the word Jesus used? Poor. The word poor, this is going to help some of you. The word poor means needy. It means to be in need. Now, it can mean financial, like poverty. But there's a lot of other types of poverty, is there not?
Oh, yeah.
Poverty of soul.
Yeah.
Maybe, again, you're sick, you're needy, you're in need of healing, you're in need of deliverance, you're in need of... everybody with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me? So the gospel is for those who know they need Him. Does that help you a little bit?
That's right.
Because it just doesn't mean we only go to find the most destitute people in society necessarily. Because I know of people that need financially a lot of help, but they're not poor in spirit. They're finally very, very prideful, and they're not really willing to come to Him.
That's right.
Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? I'm not running people down. I'm just saying we have to identify who's being drawn. Are you with me? And that's the gospel is for them. Let me just say this to you. The church, the house of God, should have a reputation as the place to come get saved and get healed and get delivered. Are you with me? To come hear the Word of God activated with power and demonstration. Amen? That is what God has. So, His loving kindness is revealed and draws people's hearts through power, but also through His presence. Would we agree?
Yeah.
But the last one you might find curious, there's only one more for today. And the last one you might find a little curious, but I'm convinced of it, and actually I wasn't even going to add this until the Holy Spirit spoke to me to say this week. There's another drawing of God for a lot of people. Will we be honest right now? There's a lot of people out there, they don't need healing. They don't even need deliverance, really. I mean, they need Jesus and everything. They need to follow the Lord. But they, you know, that none of that really scratches where they're itching.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen? See, that's what came to me as a revelation when I began to be a youth pastor. I'm trying to talk to these kids about eternity and they're 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not even... that's not even on their radar right now. I mean, occasionally a kid would be worried about where they're going to go when they die. But, and I began to realize, the Lord told me, He said, reach them with purpose and destiny. Reach them with the kingdom. Let them know they've got something in the kingdom right now as a young person. And that's what we went for. And that's what happened with our ministry. And we began to realize that. And can I tell you, there is a choosing and a discipling of those. It's a call. It's a call. It's a call upon their lives. And it draws people. But a lot of people don't even realize that God's calling them. What did Jesus say? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I already had you picked out. Amen? And I appointed you and I anointed you to bear fruit. And that is good news to a lot of people, because how many of you know a lot of people start to ask, even young people, they'll start to ask, what am I even here for? What is my life really about? Right? It's that's why Jesus said, yours is the kingdom. Your Father gladly gives you the kingdom.
Yeah.
Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
Smile. Okay, all right. I'm going to see some smiles out there. This took place at a place called Antioch. Interesting about Antioch, because of the persecution that was going on in Jerusalem, the Jews spread out, and most of them ended up at Antioch, or many of them did. And at Antioch, as they began to minister, many Gentiles were coming in. And so you had your first multicultural church at Antioch. Isn't that cool? And in this place, because remember, the Jerusalem church was just the Jews. But in this place there. And so what they did, Jerusalem heard about it. And it said great numbers of people were coming into the kingdom. And so Jerusalem heard about it and sent Barnabas to go check it out. Well, Barnabas gets there and gives us the thumbs up. This is cool. This is God. And then I'm paraphrasing everybody. Don't look that up. You're not going to find that in the Bible. And then Barnabas goes looking for Paul because he knew. See, Paul got such persecution from the Jews that he turned from them and started saying, I'm going to the Gentiles. That's who I'm called to. And so he went to find Paul. He said, you're going to love these guys. You're going to love this church, Paul. Right? And it says that Paul and Barnabas spent a year there teaching and discipling and training them. And Antioch was known as truly an apostolic hub of discipleship and equipping and training and the best part, and sending out, even to the nations. Amen? How many of you know we need to have an Antioch expression? We need to have a Jerusalem power of healing expression. Amen? And we need to have a presence expression. Y'all get where I'm going?
Yeah.
It's not either or. To me, that's what we're going to see in the last days remnant church. It's going to be the combination of those things, not either or. Y'all with me? And so God's wanting to do that. Because see, I believe in these three areas, people that are humble and truly seeking God will be drawn through one of these ways to the presence, if not all of them, to the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
Did I confuse you, or are you okay? Everybody all right? Okay, hallelujah. I know the Lord told me to share this today, and I just wanted to encourage you with it. I've learned in my life that where there is discipleship with an apostolic emphasis, okay, prophetic and apostolic emphasis, you will see disciples multiply. And I can honestly tell you, we saw this. Susan and I saw this firsthand in the youth ministry. That first youth group that signed up for discipleship, and I promised them, I said, you're going to make this commitment, man. We're going to go through this. We're going to get you grounded in your faith. We're going to learn how. I said, and we're going to go to the mission field, and you're going to, at the time, I wasn't even loosening them on their own culture. I said, we're going to, I pointed to a summer trip. And I said, we're going to go, and we're going to minister. And I got news for you. I may preach, but you're going to be laying hands on them. And you're going to be leading them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to, you know this, I said, you better get ready. And I had like 11 kids sign up for discipleship. Of a youth group of about 150 kids. And so at first I was kind of like, oh, just 11. But I can tell you, we did it for, well, the 9 years that I was a youth pastor. And 1 year at the peak, we had over 60 kids go through the discipleship program and come out here with me. The first place I ever went was White Post, 1991, 30 years ago. A mullet, a mustache, and dark hair ago. Yeah, and I wasn't half the man I am now. Yeah. Jocelyn back there can attest, right? How old were you, like?
Shoulder L.
Yeah. What were you, like, 10? You were like 9 or 10 years old. Wow. And she doesn't look any older. But, you know, isn't that right? I'm no dummy.
No.
But we saw it, guys. It started to multiply. And so, are y'all okay?
Yeah.
This is just what it's about. Because I just believe we need to get back. And that's all I was simply doing at the time. I realized the only thing else I see the Lord saying outside of reaching people is make sure you disciple them. You know? And teach them to do that. And boy, I didn't know near of what I've learned over the years. And I wish I had known that. But a lot of those kids are still serving the Lord today. Some of them are pastors and serving the Lord. We got kids in our church that are pastoring around the country and leading worship. And just it's an awesome thing to see. And God is so good. Amen. And some of the very, some of the very beautiful Navajo people that we ministered to back then are adults. And they worship with us here at Freedom Gate down here in the valley, even though they probably would not choose to have to stay in the valley. especially on this week, right? But God is good. So I just want you to see this. It's like there's three models for us. Tabernacle of David, right? Worship, prayer, intercession. The church at Jerusalem, the city set on a hill. And, you know, the place to come get touched by the power of God. And then Antioch, the Antioch model. A hub of apostolic, teeming with apostolic training and equipping and sending forth. Amen? Can y'all see that? And I really believe that's what the Lord wants us to hone in on in this time. And I believe it'll be interwoven into the remnant bride's expression in these last days. Can I take you to one more verse that I want to take you to, and then we're going to close. It's found in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, and I want to begin with verse number 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, now notice he said, this is what the people say. The time has not come, even the time, for the house of the Lord to be what? What does it say? Rebuilt. Notice that. I mean, a lot of the church needs to be rebuilt. Hello? Okay. And I would say to you today, it's Freedom Gate needs some rebuilding. Hello? And then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? And then what does he say next? Consider your ways. Then he goes on to speak to them about the fact that they've got their priorities out of order. How many of you know, a lot of times we care more about us and our things and our house and all that than we do the house of the Lord. Now, just being honest, we all get guilty of that, right? And we have to be careful to not fall into that trap, because the house of the Lord, he's wanting us and he's expecting us to place a value on building and rebuilding of his church, because that's what he's doing. Amen? And that needs to be our priority. Here's the thing. When you understand the kingdom, when you seek first the kingdom, the rest gets added to you. Amen. If we will build the house of the Lord, he'll build your house. Amen. Come on. He'll build your family and your house and even give you a house. Hallelujah. I'm convinced of it. He said, I'll cause all these things to be added unto you. But see, it's the priority of the house of the Lord. It's the priority of the ministry of the kingdom. Amen. And when that's first, it causes the... God's not asking us to live without a house or live without, you know, what we need in this world. Not at all. That's not what God's saying. But he's saying, you guys don't want to live in the... You guys don't want to help build the house of the Lord. You don't think it's time. It's just not time. It's just not time. You know? Right?
Right.
And yet, you're taking care of your paneled houses.
Yeah.
Your place looks supreme.
Yeah.
So that's what he was saying. And you know, you can get mad at the prophet all you want, but that's just what we were dealing with in that time. But Jesus said this, upon this rock, he said to Peter, remember this revelation you have, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church, right? And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Amen? And I give you what? You believers, I give you the keys. Amen? Amen. I give you the keys of the kingdom. I believe what he's saying. All of you who believe in me, everybody at home, all of you who believe in me, I believe he's saying, will you build with me?
Yeah.
And will you reign with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Will you build and reign with me?
Yeah.
If you're going to build, let's build what he's doing.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to dog out the church. Oh, I'm so sick of the church. The church has hurt me. Oh, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Let's grow up. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's help me out. I know we ain't perfect, so help me. Let's do this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are mad at me for saying get over yourself, but anyway, I love you. How many know your mama loved you when she said that to you? Right? When your mama said, get your big boy pants on and get out there. Right? She loved you when she said that. It's time for the church to get their big boy pants on. Amen. And do what God's called us to do. Interestingly, Angel, I'm going to move down to verse 14. Okay. I was thinking the other day, I always look over at Angel and say, Angel, and people probably think, man, he talks to his angel while he's preaching. Angel, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go on and go to verse 14. After Haggai prophesied this, it says that Zerubbabel, don't you love that name? Everybody say it, Zerubbabel. Okay. Zerubbabel and Joshua, get this, along with the remnant of the people. So not everybody's going to jump on board, but there's a remnant that will. Amen? It said they obeyed and they humbled themselves in reverence. And get this, the word of the Lord came again to them as they're before the Lord in worship. And you know what he said to them? I am with you. I am with you. Isn't that cool? So he's saying to them, I'm with you guys. And I'm telling you guys, it seems like a daunting test what God wants to do in the midst of us. But I'm telling you, the Lord's with us.
Amen.
If we'll give our heart to it. Amen?
Amen?
I believe that with all my heart. Look what it says here. Here's what I want to pray for you today before we leave. So the verse 14. So the Lord stirred up. Everybody say, stirred up. The spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. Man, I love all those names. It's like a bunch of rock bands or something. the high priest, and what does it say? The spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and what? Worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Hallelujah. I'm agreeing with you, even if you're watching this on your vacation later this week, I'm agreeing with you that the Spirit of the Lord is stirring our hearts up for a time such as this. Otherwise, we're going to look back and another year goes by.
Yeah, that's right.
And here we are. I wonder where everybody is today.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Same old, same old.
I'm not a same old guy. I'm really frustrated being same old. I don't know about you guys. It's time to build and it's time to rebuild. The best part of the promise in this whole thing about the Haggai prophecy, he says the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. Yeah, musicians, can you? Oh, I thought you were hearing me, Verge.
Oh, I know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, come on. let's say that. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Think about this. I believe the last days church, that glorious church that Jesus comes for, without spot or wrinkle, I believe when He comes, it's going to be teeming with the presence of God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Tangible. People are going to walk in and go, whoa!
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
You're going to walk by people on the sidewalks going into the tabernacle to worship, and people are going to get healed.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
The presence of God and the power of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
And also, people finding their purpose and their destiny, getting trained and equipped and planting and going to nations and whatever, going to the streets, whatever it may be. That's what I want you to see. And I believe that's what the glorious church is going to look like.
Amen.
And you know what? There's a few that have kind of entered into that. There's a few ministries and churches that are tapping into it even now. And I just want to declare with you today, if we'll give our hearts and allow Him to stir our hearts in this direction, that's all I want to do. Will we need a bigger space? Absolutely.
Amen.
Because if we're believing for harvest, if we get that reputation, we better have a place for people to gather. Amen?
Amen.
But that, you know what? The Lord, if we'll be about His house, then He'll provide. Amen? Amen? Because the main building materials I'm interested in is living stones. Because you get the living stones, God will take care of the brick and mortar that we need, right?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all receive that?
Yeah.
Everybody at home, do you receive that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I just want you to lift your hands. Would you lift your countenance towards your Heavenly Father? Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we come today and we commit our hearts to build with you, Jesus. And we ask you even here at Freedom Gate, rebuild us, Lord, that we may express your loving kindness through your presence, through your power, and through the call and purpose on each man and woman's life. May we be found faithful, Lord, to do what you've called us to do, so that when the Son of Man comes, He finds faith on the earth. We thank you for the opportunity to co-labor with you, Lord Jesus. To co-labor with the angels in heaven. To co-labor, Lord, with you in the work of the kingdom. Father, today I take authority in your name over fear. I take authority over anxiety. I take authority over witchcraft spirits.
Yes.
I take authority over things that have been spoken over your life, that have tried to tarnish and turn your identity. And I declare to you today, your identity is in Christ Jesus the Lord. You are a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. All because of the grace of God and the power of the blood of Jesus. Come on, thank Him for it right now. Say with me together boldly. Everybody together boldly. Say this with me. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus for His glory. The enemy has no hold on me. I am a new creation, created to walk in those things my God has preordained for me. And I set my heart this day to follow Him. Hallelujah. Boy, some of you just saying that caused a shift. Just saying that, speaking that caused a shift in your spirit before the Lord. Holy Spirit of the Most High God, I ask you to come and stir our hearts right now. Come on, pray in the Spirit with me. Come on, pray. Lift up your voice to God. Stir our hearts in here this morning, Lord, I pray. Stir the hearts of those who are listening to this video. Stir us up, God. Stir us up, God, for the things of God. Stir our hearts, Lord, to place You at the highest of priority in our lives. Give us that fervent love for one another and to not forsake assembling together, but all the more as Your day draws near. Hallelujah. Woo. Say this with me, Lord Jesus. I choose right now to feast upon You. I thank You that You are my provider, that You are my healer, that You are my deliverer. You are faithful, and I am thankful. But I long for You. I consider my ways today, and I run to You to feast on the bread of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Let's sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing to the Lord.